When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
I'm starting a workout challenge, 75 hard for those who know it.
Well, good for you if you can do this. I don't think I could do it, admittedly.
I'll lose, most likely.
Well, this is how I know I'd crush him in this challenge. I'm ready to start right now.
Do it. I may gain 75 during the time you lose 75, I think, at this point.
Well, I'm not trying to lose 75 pounds.
It was a joke. This is not a good one. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose.
You know, Evan, today's day four. You could still jump on this train. Let's go.
No, I'm good. Thanks for the offer, though. Right. I'm going to pass on that. I am trying to eat better, but I'm not trying to do what you do. Because tell everybody what you're doing as best as you can here, because this seems impossible to me.
Well, it's not impossible because I've already completed the challenge.
Okay, it is possible for you.
You could do it too. It's
no,
all about
not.
Scheduling and mindset. Trust me when I tell you. So you have to do two workouts a day. Each workout is 45 minutes long. One is inside. One has to be outside regardless of the weather. So my friends who are doing this with me, I was able to get my outdoor workout in after the show yesterday here in New York City. It wasn't raining. After our show was over, basically it started pouring. They all had to do a workout in the rain. They all went on a run in the rain in New York City last night.
Wow, what a key part of this. You have to actually monitor the weather as part of this as well.
But it's a mindset, right? That you're not going to let the weather defeat you. So two workouts, one inside, one outside, 45 minutes. You have to pick a diet, any diet of your choosing. On day one, stick to it for 75 days, no cheat meals. You have to drink a gallon of water, take a progress picture every day, read 10 pages of a nonfiction book, and no alcohol.
And you're 4 for 4.
Today's day four. I'm 3 for 3.
Savage.
You could do it.
No, I could not.
No.
I could not.
I couldn't do it.
For money, I probably could.
That's what I'm saying. Come on. If there was the right motivating factor.
But nobody's paying me to do it. If we had somebody that would sponsor me doing 75 hard, I'd do it. But there ain't a check on the other end of it. You know how I feel about that, Smalls. I'm not running unless somebody is paying me to run.
But you don't have to run. You could go on a walk every day. You can make the workouts, any workout of your
choosing.
That's
fair. That's fair.
The diet part is interesting. You can do any diet you want. Like, can we just eat pizza for every meal?
Sure.
Is that the diet?
Might not have the results you want, but that's what.
No, we're going to gain 75 pounds as a result of this. Just remarkable. All right. So this is something probably very near and dear to CeCe's heart that maybe, just maybe, we haven't necessarily heard inner secrets on that he may have to reveal here coming up. What am I talking about? CeCe, you were drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
You played there for how many years?
4 years.
4 years. You also played for the Giants and the Ravens. Well, Dalton Schultz was a member of the Cowboys. He's a tight end. He's now with the Houston Texans. And he went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday on ESPN and discussed the differences between the Texans and the Cowboys.
That was one of the first things that kind of stuck out to me is, like, it feels like much more, I don't want to say college because it's not, but, like, the focus is just football, you know what I mean? And going back and, like, telling some people, like, how kind of being around the Cowboys, like, practice facility and, you know, game day, describing some of the interactions and stuff that you see on a day-to-day basis, like, surprised a lot of people. They're like, holy crap, like, that actually happens, like, at a practice facility. And, like, you know, it's just, you think it's normal, and then you come to a place like this.
Like what? You don't have to out anything, but, like, what are you?
No, dude, it's just like, there's people literally going on tours while you're lifting in the weight room, and they've got, like, a one-way mirror for people to, like, look at. Like, it's literally, it's a zoo, dude. Like, there's people tapping on the glass, like, trying to get people's attention as they're doing, you know, power cleans or whatnot. And it's just, it's different. And I mean, that's the brand that they've built. That's, you know, that's what Jerry Jones likes. That's the way that they run things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, you don't realize, like, how many, you know, eyeballs and how much that can maybe, you know, distract from, you know, stuff just in the locker room, being in the facility, until you go somewhere else and you're like, holy crap, like, dude, there's none of that.
That is fascinating. I mean, that is, to me, hearing that as a fan and member of the media, that is the distinction between a football team and a business. Jerry Jones is running a business that has a football team. I think other organizations, like the Steelers, let's just say, probably are running a football team that becomes their business, but it's like a one-way mirror looking into the athletes, just doing whatever they're doing, theoretically, privately, in that spot. Is that similar to your experience with the Cowboys?
Yeah, everybody will be coming through. Like, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys at practice, people, celebrities, entertainers, people want to come and watch the Dallas Cowboys because Jerry Jones has done a great job of making his franchise a spectacle that attracts a lot of fans. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to football, when it comes to professional sports. It's the most valuable sports franchise on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jerry Jones has done a great job of being able to monetize it. But I don't know that it necessarily creates the type of environment that gets the most out of your people when it matters the most. And that's what we're talking about with the Dallas Cowboys. It's not whether or not they can rack up regular season wins. It's can they have success once they get into the postseason and compete for championships. And right now we've got, what, a 28-year drought from the conference championship game?
Not great.
At some point, something about that has to change. Now, I was just doing the exercise throughout the course of the early goings of this show just to look. I have yet to find a team in NFL history to have three consecutive 12-win seasons or better not to make a conference championship game during that span.
Wow.
No, it's never happened. They have the most wins in that span without ever getting there. Yeah, you're right about that. Like, That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we've seen it with all of these other teams, the San Francisco 49ers, the New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers with Matt LaFleur, the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning. Like, you see these teams when they have these seasons where they're able to stack up regular season wins back to back to back, they eventually break through and get to the championship round. Well, the Dallas Cowboys haven't been able to do it.
Do you think that if people, like, I wonder everyday people listening to our show right now, if you were, hypothetically, make yourself an NFL player, you have an opportunity to play on any of the 32 teams, do you think people would be closer to ranking the Cowboys first or last relative to the urge to play for them?
Closer to first.
You think so? Based on, like, the fact that it's, like, he just described it as a zoo.
Right, but it's still one of the biggest brands, as CeCe said, in sports, and it's a team that has a lot of talent around it. I mean, I think you're going to want to play there before you're going to want to go to a lot of other places, if you could handpick.
But why? They don't make it to the Super Bowl. They don't make it to the conference championship. You have more eyes on you in a way that is not always productive nor healthy.
Whoa, I'm not going to say it's, well, it's how you define productivity, right? It's how you define it, because we always have this saying in the NFL, you make your money in the regular season, make your legacy in the postseason. Well, you can make a pretty damn good name for yourself in this league as a Dallas Cowboy. I was a fourth-round draft pick, the last pick of the fourth round in 2005. I don't get that big free agent contract without having the success I did with the Dallas Cowboys. So you can make your name with that franchise because it's so visible, and that can set you up for your own individual goals as a professional athlete. But we're not talking about individual success. We're talking about team success. All those Dallas Cowboys players have had a lot of individual success.
Sure.
CeeDee Lamb, All-Pro. Michael Parsons, All-Pro. Dak Prescott has made how much money? He's All-Pro. Like, they've had the individual success, but it hasn't translated to team success. And the part that bothers me is that this is a team that clearly has the talent to do so because they got the regular season record to support it.
Yes.
So you got the talent to compete for a championship, yet you haven't had the success in the postseason. There is something amiss, and I think it's what we're hearing from Dalton Schultz is the ability to be able to channel the best of what you have at the most opportune times. They don't have that because there's seemingly distractions that are going on behind the scenes.
That's the key word, distractions, and Dalton Schultz said as much. It's distracting to have all these people coming through. And we always are critical of coaches for not making in-game adjustments. If they see that something's not working and they don't adjust, they're going to take heat from us, right? Jerry Jones, as the owner, shouldn't he be making some adjustments culturally if he sees that it's not working? Like, maybe he shouldn't be allowing people to come in through tourists. It's a very lucrative brand, but he needs to really take stock of, are all of these things that we're doing to make the Dallas Cowboys Broadway, as he told you, CeCe, is it culminating in a championship? And right now it's not. So maybe he's the one that needs to take a step back and say, no tours for 2024. I'm not doing any interviews for 2024.
No tours for 24.
But that's, you know what I'm saying?
That's the Cowboys slogan this year.
T-shirt.
No tours for 24.
I mean, come on.
I mean, what are we doing?
No, but it sounds like Disney World. It sounds like Disney World.
No, he said it's a zoo. He said, By the way, are you guys zoo people? Do you like zoos? Like
no,
real?
I'm not really a zoo person.
Mm. Actually, the zoo in St. Louis is great. One of the best zoos in the
I'm
country.
Not a zoo person.
I feel like love Pat Costello is a zoo guy. Bears. In my head, Pat is a zoo guy. Are you a zoo guy, Pat?
I like the zoo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Pat feels like a zoo guy.
But you know what? No, it shouldn't be a zoo. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. It should not be a zoo. And until they remove all of these things that have become distractions and have made it part of a circus, I don't think that anything's going to change. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. So if they're going to continue down this path and it's going to feel like a zoo for the players, and it's going to be distracting for the players, why would I think the results are going to be any different?
But you know, it's interesting. You said if you're Jerry Jones and you've been doing it a certain way and it hasn't worked, you would do something differently. Well, but it has worked.
In the past.
No, not just in the past. It has worked in terms of the value of his franchise because he's a businessman at the end of the day.
True.
So all of these people wanting to be a part of the Dallas Cowboys, making it a part of the main attraction, building the star in Frisco that's complete with its own hospital, five-star hotel, practice facility, and being able to hand out gym memberships where people can access the facilities. Like, that's all a part of his business model. I don't see Jerry Jones changing that anytime soon. And so if you're not going to change it, and you're hearing what Dalton Schultz says, you have to have some serious questions about whether or not this franchise is actually going to break through in a season where Jerry Jones is saying he's going, quote unquote, all in.
Which Adam Schefter properly has told us, how do you go all in if you don't have the money the cap space available to you to actually go all in, which is what he kept saying about when he was on with us on Tuesday about the idea of, well, if you wanted the Dak deal done, it should have been done by now because of the fact that you're up against it here. And the league year is starting next week. 888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the show. Why are you joining the show right now? We are looking for the most interesting man in baseball. Yeah, it's easy to tell us that Trout is great. Interesting, though? We're looking for quirky stories about different people in baseball. We are going to hype up the beginning of the season here and into the early portion of the season by looking for the most interesting man in baseball. We're doing it division by division. So today, Smalls, we have the AL Central.
That's right.
The White Sox, the Guardians, the Tigers, the Royals, the Twins. Fans of those teams, fans around the sport, what we want from you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want interesting stories about players on those teams. So you're getting an opportunity to step up right now. And basically, you're pitching us a story that ultimately may result in that person joining our show.
Yeah, we need you to advocate for the players on your team because we know the players, but when you're in that market, when you're a fan of that team, you know all the nuances. You know which guys have great personalities. And it may be somebody that we're not aware of, some lefty specialist that we don't know that's really quirky and fun. So we need the fans of these teams to step up, nominate the most interesting man in baseball from their team.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're looking for you guys to be the ones that get it done right now with us. Just like Granger, CC, the ones who get it done, of course.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is great for the intros alone.
Oh, my God.
The intro alone is
amazing.
You
guys have killed it with the intro. The intro is so funny.
The most interesting man in baseball. AL Central Edition. Give us a story. Give us something interesting about somebody in that division. We are looking for the most interesting man in baseball. How did we get here? We got here because basically we had a debate about Mike Trout and how interesting is he. He's the best player for years in the sport. And now we are looking looking for people that are interesting in this sport, because just because you are really good does not mean you are really interesting. And some people, like Trout, are trying not to be interesting, but there are many other players that are insanely interesting. We just need to learn about them with you guys at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So if you're a fan of the Guardians, of the White Sox, of the Royals, of the Twins, the Tigers, give us the person that you think is the most interesting person that we should pay attention to. For example, yesterday we learned about Gerrit Cole, right, in the Yankees. We know he's really good, but the fact that he's a wine connoisseur, the fact that he is a foodie and that his wife catches the bullpen sessions for him in the offseason is an amazing thing, right? There was a guy in the Orioles that may or may not be true, but we don't care. It's just a matter of the fun story that his dad won some sort of mustache contest. That's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Right. So we need your help at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Most interesting man in baseball. We'll get your phone calls in on that. Specifically today, AL Central, White Sox, Guardians, Tigers, Royals, Twins, if you have answers on that. Last year in the NFL, by the way, one of the most interesting men in the NFL was Joe Flacco, right? He comeback player of the year. He was on the couch, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, he's the starting quarterback of the Browns? What happened here?
And he's good?
And he's good, and they're going to the playoffs, and like, what if they win it all with him? Then what do we do?
Totally.
Well, he was on SiriusXM NFL radio and expressed what he wants to do next year.
I can tell you that, you know, all things equal, Cleveland is definitely the place that I would feel best about. Now, you know, that then you have to get into the world of, is somebody going to actually give me a chance to play, you know, and all the different things that go into that. I can't help but have a special feeling about Cleveland just because of the few weeks that I spent there and how great the city was. And listen, at the end of the day, I don't necessarily want that to be a huge part of, like, all of the decision, but I do think it will factor into the decision if I end up having a decision to make.
But you're comfortable with the notion that Deshaun Watson is going to come back and you would then be the backup to him in Cleveland?
Yeah, listen, obviously if I go back to Cleveland, then I'm going to have to, you know, then I've wrapped my mind around that idea. Obviously, I want to play football. You know, that's also a really, really, really big factor. Probably the biggest factor.
Joe Flacco there, NFL Radio on SiriusXM with Bruce Murray. He can't go back. They can't bring him back. He's too good.
Because then it's a controversy.
This is the weirdest thing to say, Smalls and CC, but like, I believe he is too good to go back to the place he was too good in.
He played better than Deshaun Watson.
Yes! You have $60 million guaranteed per year invested in Deshaun Watson, a contract that CC said is the single worst deal currently in the National Football League. And because the Russell Wilson deal doesn't exist anymore, really, right? Like, he's too good. You cannot walk yourself into a quarterback controversy. You can go out there and get a competent, good backup, Gardner Minshew, Ryan Tannehill, whomever. It cannot be this guy. He was a folk hero last year. They love him too much. This would be walking yourself into unnecessary drama.
Totally disagree. He was effective for them. He clearly bonded with the team, loves the organization, loves the city, wants to come back, and said he would be fine being a backup.
Mm-hmm.
If he is not going to be clamoring for the starting spot and understands his role, if I'm the Cleveland Browns and he wants to be there, why wouldn't I bring him back? Because I don't know what Deshaun Watson is going to be. I don't know what he's going to give me. Sure, I've sunk a ton of money into that contract, but I also have a lot of talent on this team that I don't want to let down too. So if Deshaun Watson can't be that guy, why wouldn't I want to have somebody on my roster who I have evidence can be?
Because you're on the hook for what, I think $180 million still left on Deshaun Watson's contract or whatever it is that's got to be paid out. It's something ridiculous. It's like $100 million that you still have to pay out for Deshaun Watson. Like, I'm just sitting here looking at the yearly cash breakdown. You owe him $46 million each of the next three seasons.
It's a lot.
Think about it, $46 million each of the next three seasons.
But then, so you're just going to ride this out no matter what? You're not going to have any sort of contingency plan in place? You're just going to let that defense waste away if you can't get productive quarterback play?
No, I'm not saying that that's what you do, but I also can acknowledge the tough spot that Cleveland's in, right? Because if you do march Joe Flacco back into that locker room and Deshaun Watson struggles early on, and there's no reason to think he won't based on what we've seen him be in Cleveland, then everybody, not only in the fan base, but in that locker room, is going to be clamoring for Joe Flacco. They've already got proof of concept with Joe Flacco. They went 4-1 down the stretch in the regular season. He took over a 7-win team, and they won double-digit games and got to the postseason. Like, we know we can win games with Joe Flacco. He might not be more talented than Deshaun Watson, but we don't need that with as good as the defense is. And I guess that's the part where Evan is arguing, but I think what I look at is how bad the situation is in Cleveland because of that dynamic. Think about it. I'm afraid of bringing back Joe Flacco.
Yep.
Because everybody in the locker room might want him. When I threw 3 first-round draft picks and a $230 million contract to solve the quarterback problem.
What you're saying without saying it, and I'll say it about myself, you just made me realize something. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here. I'm going to tell you why. I think Deshaun Watson's going to have a bounce-back season this year. I really do.
Okay.
I'm not a believer in him. Like, I'm just talking about the football, obviously. But how can I then say that and then be worried about a quarterback controversy with Joe Flacco? Mm-hmm. So I am hedging my bet a little bit that maybe he's not going to have that bounce back season, right? So I have to own that part of me is talking out of both sides of my mouth. But here's what I'm thinking. Let's say that Deshaun Watson goes 15 of 27 for 180 yards, a touchdown and a pick, and the Browns win a game 13-10. Kevin Stefanski goes to the post-game press conference, and he is peppered with questions about whether or not he'd consider Joe Flacco next week. Conversely, if they brought in Sam Darnold as their backup quarterback, competent, has played in this league before, there's no questions about if you're benching Deshaun Watson. None. You cannot win games and have questions about benching your starting quarterback, and that's what would happen there.
But if all things are equal, and when I say all things, I'm really talking about the money, why would you not go with Joe Flacco, somebody that's already familiar with the system, familiar with your personnel? Like that's what becomes the tough sell. He's Flacco, by doing what he did yesterday, has already put it on wax. He's put them in an impossible position because now he's saying, I'll come back. I'll play. I just want to have an opportunity to be a part of this team. I think it's special. I might not have a lot of other opportunities around the NFL, but I want to come play for Cleveland.
But there may be another question we're not asking. Why doesn't he have other opportunities? Nobody believes what he did last year was real? Like, he hasn't done enough to actually be a bridge starting quarterback? Why not?
Well, age is probably the answer.
So
he's not young.
I don't think it's a smart move. I think it is.
I agree with you, the dynamics of it. But I mean, Joe Flacco is 39 years old. So I mean, like, teams are always trying to get younger and cheaper. But if the money is equal in terms of what Sam Darnold will command on the open market versus what Joe Flacco would get as a veteran player at this stage, then why wouldn't you consider bringing back Flacco? The only answer would be because of the locker room dynamics and knowing that that team has proof of concept with that quarterback, Joe Flacco, that they can win football games. And that puts so much more pressure on Deshaun Watson to produce.
Sure, but doesn't he already have a tremendous amount of pressure on him to produce? If I'm the Cleveland Browns, I'm going to him and saying, listen, we gave you this money to be this guy. Prove to us that you're worth the contract. Somebody being your backup shouldn't threaten you at all if you truly believe that you're that guy. If you truly believe that you're the franchise quarterback of this team like we paid you to be. If I'm Cleveland, I'm not going to do what the Jets did and not have a contingency plan. I am not going down that road because I'm afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. There's no way I'm doing it.
But you still
owe me $125 million.
And that's fine.
I guess that's my point. How much pressure is on him if you still owe me $125 million no matter what I do?
Probably not a lot. You're going to get what you want at the end.
But I guess that's the point. That's the controversy that the organization has created by doling out that contract. And the person that's going to be in the bullseye is not the player, because every player understands taking that kind of guaranteed money. The person that ends up being in the crosshairs, general manager and the head coach, the ones that signed off on making that decision. And it only gets exacerbated if you bring back Joe Flacco, which is why they can't do it.
They can't.
No. It's not for Deshaun Watson's sake. It's for their own job security, because it ends up looking even more egregious, the fact that you got a backup quarterback in Joe Flacco that the team potentially has more confidence in having success with than Deshaun Watson.
I completely disagree. I look at the San Francisco 49ers. They would have been torched for Trey Lance, but because they pulled the plug when they did and they went with Brock Purdy, we don't talk about it. Last year, we talked about the Browns as a success with Joe Flacco. We didn't harp on the Deshaun Watson contract the way we did because we were talking more about the positivity of the team now that Joe Flacco was plugged in. Conversely, we torched the Jets for for going with Zach Wilson and not having a full contingency plan in case Aaron Rodgers didn't work out. I think if anything, having Joe Flacco there and potentially having someone that can have success at the quarterback position if Deshaun Watson doesn't work out actually saves those people you were talking
about. But you can't pull the plug when you got to pay him $125 million. How are you going to pull? You can't move on. This ain't Trey Lance. Like, you can't just get off of him. It's not just draft picks. It's your cap. Like, that affects how you build your team. Mm-hmm. You can't just pull the plug. He's there.
To be continued. Damian Woody's going to join us coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay, benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. I always say now, the star of the dynasty. The Patriots documentary on Apple Plus joins us. All right, let's have you jump in on the conversation we were just having before you got here, which was about Joe Flacco back in Cleveland. He comes out NFL radio. He says he'd like to be back in Cleveland. We're split on whether or not Cleveland should want him back. What say you?
So we're just going to leave out Deshaun Watson's contract.
That's what I said.
Are we just going to leave out Deshaun Watson's contract? Because that's like an albatross that's just hanging all over the Cleveland Browns right now. Like, when you're paying someone that much money, Chris, you know, like, yesterday we saw the business part of the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, what happened with the Buffalo Bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
The business part of the NFL is going to play into why Deshaun Watson is going to get every opportunity and more to fulfill being a starting quarterback in Cleveland. Regardless of how Joe Flacco played last year. And I thought he did a very admirable job considering the fact that he came off his couch and was able to help lead the Cleveland Browns into the postseason. But at the end of the day, the math is all that matters here. And Deshaun Watson's contract isn't going to allow Joe Flacco to come in and be the savior once again.
Yeah, that's $125 million they owe him over the next 3 years.
Mm.
Let me tell you what they're not going to do. Bring in Joe Flacco.
That's right.
Let me tell you what they're not going to do. But, Damian, I mean, the big news this week in the NFL was Russell Wilson and what ended up happening to him getting released by the Denver Broncos. And now the speculation starts about where the landing spots are for Russ. Doesn't feel like there's much of a market right now materializing for Russ. Are you surprised by that?
I'm not necessarily surprised. You know what? Here's what I would say, man. It's like, okay, this is like the second team. You know, in three seasons, he was traded from Seattle, and now he's going to be released by Denver. What does that tell the rest of the league? I think the rest of the league look at Russell Wilson as a diminished product. Now, I don't think he played as bad as, you know, I thought he played decent last year. But it definitely didn't live up to the contract that the Denver Broncos signed him up for. Here's the thing I will say about Russell Wilson. This is going to be the first time in a long time where we're going to see how much he really loves the game. How much he really loves the game, because there's not going to be a team that's going to go out there and sign him to a big deal. We know that the Denver Broncos owe him $39 million, regardless if he's on the roster or not. No team is going to pay him anything more than minimum, knowing that he has $39 million coming his way. And you know what happens when a team pays you minimum?
They can get rid of you.
They can get rid of you like that easy.
Yep.
So if you're Russell Wilson, you're not going to go into any situation next year as the ironclad starter. You're going to have to earn it. You're either going to be in one or two situations. Either you're going to be on a full-on competition, or you're going to be a bridge quarterback to a younger quarterback that was drafted. Those are going to be your options. So for him, it's just going to be, we'll see how much you really love the game.
Is there a landing spot you have in mind for him that you think would be a good fit?
I think that, people have talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and, I think the Raiders make a lot of sense, because if you look at the Raiders, A, they need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
B, I think they draft a young quarterback. And C, for the reason I just said a minute ago, I think Russell Wilson could be the bridge quarterback. So a young quarterback doesn't have to feel pressure going and start from day one. You can have a bridge quarterback like a Russell Wilson, which will allow him to see if he can go out here. They do have Devontae Adams on the outside.
Yep.
To see if he can go out here and put together a season, maybe to kind of, quote unquote, rehabilitate, his career and get his career back on track. So I think that situation, in my opinion, would be the best one. But there's just not – I don't think it's going to be a lot of suitors out there that's going to be knocking on the door for Russell Wilson.
We're talking with Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst. You'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Let's go back to a story you just brought up. Big news yesterday, Bills basically cleaning house.
Yeah.
Not because they wanted to, but because they had to.
Yes.
That means what for Josh Allen in your mind?
Like I said, during the season, I felt that that iteration of the Bills was over. Like they had a run about like 4 years where they had an opportunity. They knocked on the door, but they never kicked it in. They could never get on the hump. Obviously, we know why. 15, Patrick Mahomes in the same conference, he's going to do that to a lot of people. And so this is a situation where clearly you saw a lot of older veterans, guys who play some really good ball in Buffalo, became expendable. So now it's about, as far as Josh Allen, I think you got to take more of a leadership role now, because the dynamics of that team is going to be a little different. They're probably going to have to play some younger guys, in that role. But again, I will say this. When you have Josh Allen, you're always going to have a shot. But they're going to that iteration of that team, done.
Yesterday on Get Up, Ryan Clark said that if the Chicago Bears don't start Caleb Williams, and if Caleb Williams doesn't have success, it would be all the Bears' fault. Essentially, organizational malpractice. Mm-hmm. Do you see that the same way when it comes to Caleb Williams?
First of all, I think Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback.
Wow.
I do. That's just my personal opinion. But in regards to what Ryan Clark was talking about, I think, whether it's Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels, I think the Chicago Bears have all the ammunition to really create a nice infrastructure for a young quarterback. Think about it. They went out last year. They traded number one pick. They traded number one. They got assets. They brought in DJ Moore. They got two picks in the top 10. Okay? You can continue to add to the offense. They got the most cap space in the National Football League, so you can bring in more. If this doesn't work out, I'm sorry, the Chicago Bears are like just doomed, because they are really set up for a young quarterback to come in and really get this thing popping. Like, think about this. I think Himbo told me this before. I don't think the Chicago Bears in their history has had a quarterback over 4,000 yards.
No.
Think about how crazy that – this is one of the original teams in the National Football League.
They've been playing ball in Chicago
a long time. And they don't have – in their history, not one quarterback that's passed over 4,000 yards. That's crazy.
It might just be the laundry, right? They might just be doomed, as you said. But I want to go back to the comment you made, Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. Yeah. Why do you prefer him as a quarterback?
Because I think Jaden Daniels does the ordinary things better.
Yeah.
That's what everyone is so enamored about the off-platform, off-schedule, all those type of things. Give me the quarterback who can recognize, diagnose, be accurate, and most importantly, when pressure comes, deliver the ball against man-to-man defense, against man-to-man coverage. Jaden Daniels does that better than Caleb Williams, in my opinion. And so for me, listen, both of those guys are dynamic. Hell, all these quarterbacks coming in the league are dynamic. They're athletic. But I want to know who can do the ordinary things the best. And I feel like that's Jaden Daniels.
Damian Woody, you'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern. Always phenomenal with us. We appreciate your time, Damian. And I want to take this time to tell everybody about True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green is where you're going to go. Why? Because over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years have used True Green. I'm one of them. You guys can go online. Go to truegreen.com today. Visit that website and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit truegreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. You want people coming over your house and your lawn is brown and rough? Give me a break. True Green is going to make it beautiful for you. That's truegreen.com, T-R-U-G-R-E-E-N.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Pat Costello, producer, each and every day at this time, gives us items around his life, sports, entertainment, that he's over. Pat, what do you have for us today?
A cup of ice cream is vastly superior to a cone. I don't get people who eat cones. They're insane to me, and they're so inconvenient, and they don't taste that good, and I don't get it. Cups of ice cream are the perfect vessel for ice cream.
Have you ever had the ice cream upside down?
Yes, the cone
in the cup with the cone on the other side.
Cones taste bad. Cones are not good.
I like cones.
The waffle cone is outstanding.
Yeah, what?
No.
Sugar cone, waffle cone.
My wife loves the sugar cone.
It's like great.
The cone is her preferred vehicle or her preferred method of consuming icing. I'm with you though, Ev. Like, if you give me the cup of ice cream and then the waffle cone turned upside down on top of it,
it gives me
the sweet. I got the texture. You know, it's the right kind of ice cream. It's savory, too. Like, you got all the elements.
Savory?
Yeah.
I love the waffle cone by itself with the ice cream in it because the ice cream will kind of make the cone softer, so it's easier to bite into. Yeah, it's delicious.
What about the other one that's like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like flaky a little bit, that kind of cone?
The sugar cone.
No, like, the sugar cone is hardened. The other one is more like a flaky. I'm showing Cece right now. I don't know how to, like a cake cone. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think that might be what it is.
Yeah, I don't. That one is third place amongst the cones. Yeah, but a waffle.
All
cone?
The cones. I'm cool with all the cones.
You're eating a waffle and ice cream. How could that be bad?
Oh, because it doesn't taste good. That's how.
You're right. It tastes great.
No.
Oh. Yes. Next one.
So I was getting my windshield replaced yesterday.
Ooh.
This is more of a story. And the guy, there's a guy who comes in right after me who says that he was 4 hours late for his appointment, but demanded to have his windshield fixed right at that moment.
No.
Because he had an appointment that he had, he's a working man. He had to keep an appointment for 3 o'clock. This was at about 1 o'clock. And he demanded it. And they were like, well, you can leave your car, but we don't know when we're going to get to it. And he walks out and he comes back in and demands to speak to a manager. And I just can't understand the level of entitlement that you would feel to show up 4 hours late for an appointment, demand it gets done, and then use the excuse that you have to keep an appointment as the reason why it should be done.
Terrible.
It was unbelievable to watch.
You know, when my wife and I go to dinner, if we're going to be 5 minutes late, I do the call ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get so nervous and respectful simultaneously. Nervous, like they may not take our reservation. Respectful of like they're running a business. We made a reservation. Us being late is going to throw up 7 other things.
Yeah.
Give them a heads up and give them the out when we're on the way, not when we get there and we're like, well, now what are we going to do? You got to do the call ahead. But the other thing is, what do you have? Max a half hour window of when you're late to do anything on an appointment? You don't get the.
I think it's usually 15 minutes.
Okay, but if you make an appointment.
Anything on the other side of 15 minutes is unreasonable.
If you make an appointment at 9 a.m., it's not good for the day. It's like, oh, I got a 9 a.m. appointment. You don't get to get there at 1 o'clock and be like, what do you mean? I had the 9. No, you had the 9, so you're supposed to be there at 9. Not one.
He was like, what is this policy that you guys don't take people after
4 hours late?
Here's my question. What was the point in that person's life where they somehow got the notion that they were better than other people or that other people's time was less valuable than theirs?
Well, that's what it is.
Because
what you just said is exactly what it is.
But I wonder, like, is it something your parents did? Like, at what point in your life did you get it implanted in your brain that you are more important than anybody else and that everyone needs to bow down to your needs, even if you're inconveniencing them?
That's a great, great question. And you're 1,000% right about that. But I'm also thinking about the reverse because I go the other way. Because, like, to me, the person that's working at the windshield place, I think their time is more valuable than mine because their job is, like, probably harder, even though our job is not as easy as it may seem and hear like.
Sure, I get what you're coming from.
But, like, I guess is that, we're going to go real psychoanalysis here. Is that because, like, my dad grew up in the Bronx with nothing and, like, he taught that at an early age?
He taught you respect of other people. Yes.
The only thing that could change the math slightly, and I'm not saying the guy would still be right, but if he prepaid for the service.
Like if it he's still doesn't already, go all day,
already,
though,
no, but if you already got my money, then I need this to be fixed ASAP.
I can tell you right now he didn't. Because they basically just give you a quote for what it could be.
Okay.
And most windshields are covered under insurance in a lot of cases.
Right. Now, I just have to ask one other follow-up.
That's why I wasn't sure.
There has to be
I've
another follow-up.
I've never been in that situation.
Pat, this is not one of these, I have a friend who, this was not actually you, was it?
No, this is definitely not me.
Sure. I got a friend who was, I'm just saying. By the way, Wafer Cone, thank you on Twitter. People are tweeting
wafer
at me
wafer
at
Epco
Radio. Corey just tweeted, Wafer Cone.
You weren't going to let that go, were you?
Well, it's driving me crazy.
You were going to find the name of that
crazy.
Cone.
Yeah.
Next, what you got, Pat?
Also, shout out to the girls who handled it amazingly at the windshield place, because I felt bad for them. All they were doing was keeping the schedule. They didn't replace the windshields. Anyway. LeBron James deserves a statue with the Heat, and anyone who says otherwise is completely insane. The greatest basketball player possibly of all time, ushering the greatest era that the Heat have ever seen in winning them 2 championships, deserves a statue. Any argument against
nobody
that
has
is completely
a statue
ridiculous.
There. Not one person.
Put one up. That's the
so
point.
So you want LeBron
get
James.
One.
Dwayne Wade does not have a statue. He will.
He can get one too.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
How is it ridiculous?
Because they don't actually have statues.
Put some up.
Why? Why do we have to be in a statue culture just to tear them down? Retire the jersey. The statue is overrated. It's ridiculous. You want the... Okay.
They could actually do a statue of D. Wade throwing that lob to 100%. LeBron James and
so
Wade
good.
Has got his arms
one
out.
One of the most iconic
that
shots.
That would be dope if they
he was there for
that
4 years. Yeah, not doing
be,
it.
He was there for 4 years. Statue. Oh, I'm sorry. Because he accomplished nothing?
I didn't say he accomplished nothing.
Oh, you know, he just gave you 2 championships in the greatest era in Heat history. You're welcome, I guess.
I am not pro-statue.
So you're against the Dwayne Wade statue?
I don't think it's necessary. I think it's smart business because it's just a way every year to honor Dwayne Wade. And figure out a way. Like, all right, how are we going to do this year?
It's Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. No, what's wrong with that?
Because he's about 6th or 7th on the list of people that you would build statues for with that organization.
Sixth or seventh?
Give us the list. What's the list?
Yes.
Yeah, give us the
give
list.
Give me the list.
Well, Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
Udonis Haslem.
Oh, my God.
Pat Riley.
Okay.
Eric Spoelstra.
What? What are you talking about?
Well,
you're
going to
put up an Eric Spoelstra statue?
Yes.
Before
who are you
LeBron?
Building the, Pat. Who are you building the statue for? The fans of the team or the fans of other teams? The fans of the team actually, like, sorry, Nuno. Kyle Lowry is going to get a statue in Toronto. That is the most ridiculous thing on earth. But the fans of that team love that guy.
That's embarrassing for Heat fans. That's embarrassing.
It's, but they don't love him the way they love other people.
And that's embarrassing. You should take those championships. We should take those banners and throw them in the ocean.
Do you want the Lakers to build a statue for LeBron? Because they actually have statues.
Well, no.
No, because they have a higher standard, and he didn't. He wasn't there for the best era in Lakers basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want a statue for anyone.
A different version of LeBron. Different version of LeBron.
Not even close.
Well, I mean, you had Udonis Haslem talking about if Bosh was more important than LeBron James.
That's not what he said. Oh, my God.
That's what the headline says. It's on the internet.
No,
it's true.
No, stop it. You are too smart for that. That is not what he said. Oh, my God.
I just don't understand why they can't have a statue of Wade and LeBron.
Why don't you guys love LeBron? I cannot understand.
It has nothing to do with that. It's you're talking about an organization that doesn't have statues, and you'd like to build a statue. For one guy.
So they do have statues. It should be two. So they're going to have statues. Is there any other fan base who hates a star who won there?
They don't hate him.
No.
The
Miami Heat is the answer.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.